Welcome to the Middle East Report. Each week we connect you to the people, places, and geography of what you read about in the Bible, the land of the Bible. We talk about God's Word and how you connect that to the land of Israel. And joining me directly from the land of Israel today is Timur. Timur is actually with the Israeli Ministry of Tourism, the government, and we're here in Tel Aviv, Timur, and we're having an opportunity to see the entire country, this beautiful, beautiful land. Timur, you're with the government and the Ministry of Tourism. Tell us what you do there.
Yes, hello everyone. It's a pleasure to be here and talk to you. So my job in the Ministry of Tourism as a campaign and media manager is to showcase to the world and to potential tourists who want to come to Israel and visitors how beautiful Israel is, how interesting and fascinating, how safe it is, and that we are welcoming people to come and experience Israel, to meet the Israeli people. And of course, the ministry also it works toward outside to show people the Israel beauty, but also we support the tourism industry here in Israel to make the experience when people come here as rich and as beautiful as much as possible.
You know, you mentioned the experience of coming to Israel. And of course, everybody who's listening today loves the Bible, loves the Word of God. And so when they come to Israel, they connect to the Bible and then they have that experience. Talk about that and how important that is. You know, you see tourists come to Israel all the time and you can see how they connect the Bible to the land and the things that they read about in God's Word.
So I think no other place on earth can connect a person to the Bible and to God's Word more than Israel. So when people come here, they can actually see and walk through the Bible, through the footsteps of Jesus. They can walk and visit and see how verses connect exactly to the sites, how verses make sense when you see on the sites the different archaeological evidence, they hear the stories, and you can actually have this transformative experience of you walking through the land of the Bible. This is maybe Israel's most unique experience that it provides, other than the regular tourism, the beautiful landscape, the great food, all of the things that are beautiful. But only here you can actually connect to the Bible and to God's Word, because where else can you see what happened actually and walk it?
You know, what's amazing, Timur, is that everywhere you turn here in Israel, the Bible just is right there. Even right here in Tel Aviv, outside of Tel Aviv, there is a place called Jaffa, which is the modern name, but then Joppa in the Bible. And so many things happen there along the Mediterranean coast. Joppa, for instance.
For instance, you can see where in Jaffa, where Petrus actually had the vision and the dream that allowed him to spread the faith that Jesus taught to other people who were not Jewish. So actually you can see the house that is recognized, or at least according to tradition, is recognized where he sat on the roof, and this happened. And from Jaffa, you can look and see towards Caesarea, which continued his journey, and then you can go and visit Caesarea itself and see where he set out from there, from the port of Caesarea. So everything, you can actually track the footsteps of the stories in the Bible of Jesus, of course, but also of all the other personalities who are important in the Bible, and see where they lived and how they walked.
He had that vision, and then he was sent to Cornelius in Caesarea Maritima, which is what it is called here in Israel. And geographically, somebody may not even know, you know, where Jaffa is, or Joppa, or Caesarea Maritima. Where are these places?
Well, Jaffa is next to Tel Aviv, like I said, on the coast. Actually, it was always known as the gateway to the Holy Land, even after the time of Jesus, because the pilgrims would actually, who wanted to see this throughout all ages, they wanted to come and connect to the land of the Bible through all ages, and they wanted, took great risk to come and see the Holy Land. So Jaffa was always a center, and the center they arrived in, which is pretty amazing when you think about it. It's the place where Peter was sent from, to Cornelius, and then he helped spread the faith. But the people of the faith come back and came through hundreds of years to Jaffa first, as those who come to the Holy Land back. So this is, I think, an amazing situation in Jaffa. It's beautiful to see that. You can see where they landed. Even the pilgrims of old, you can see where they landed.
You know, one of the things about Joppa, just staying in that geographical area along the Mediterranean, That is the port where Hiram from Lebanon sent the cedar logs down to help build the temple for Jerusalem with Solomon.
Yes, exactly. So this is what's beautiful about the land of the Bible. Even a person like me who's not the most versed in all the stories, I can tell you that I know the stories because when you go, you can see that. You look from Jaffa's coast and you see where you're looking north toward Lebanon. And you say it makes sense. There was a port in Lebanon, there was a port in Jaffa. And I can actually, if you want, you can drive and walk from Jaffa up to the border with Lebanon and look toward the cities of Lebanon. And you can actually, this is what they say when you say the Bible comes to life. It's actually this experience. And when you talk about Caesarea, it's exactly the same thing. You can travel easily about 40 minutes in car from Jaffa, all the road that people did to Caesarea, and go and see why Caesarea is so important on the coast and how from it they connected to the Mediterranean and to Rome later in the story. So this is what's beautiful about here, that you can actually walk and see. And when you see the landscape and you see why it makes sense to travel to Caesarea, and you make sense the port of Caesarea to be the central one that made by the Roman, because all other ports are not so functional. The coast doesn't allow other ports. You will see how it just makes sense. It just clicks in your mind, the stories.
Well, Paul is mentioned a lot of going to Caesarea Maritima, the port that you're talking about. And he was imprisoned there. He had several of his missionary journeys that he went out from Caesarea Maritima. So there are so many things that happened just in that place alone that we could literally, you know, spend the next hour talking about all the things that happened there.
Actually, you can, what's one of the most interesting things there, other than the journey of Paul, and you can see actually Herod's palace in Caesarea, and you can see the jail or the jail that they had in the palace, and think, okay, maybe here Petrus and others were held for jailing for their faith and other things. You can actually see that, and you can see how the when they say port, you will see the old port, but you can also see a stone that has the name of Pilatus and people connected to Pontius Pilatus, which is a proof that he existed in the time of Jesus. They actually find his name, and the stone was found in Caesarea, and then it was taken to museum. But you have a replica in Caesarea, and you can see that this is one of the biggest, because, you know, faith is faith. But sometimes you look also for archaeological evidence and things that are to prove, even for you rationally, the thing that you read in the Bible. And this is one of the biggest proofs, and this is why also makes Caesarea so important.
You know, thinking about Pilate, it was really the first time that he was mentioned, and it was found right there in Caesarea Maritima on that stone that you just mentioned. So that's one of the amazing places. We just mentioned a couple that you can visit here in Israel. You also were a tour guide. So you took people, you know, around the land of Israel. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. What's another place you want to take us to real quickly here, you know, in the land of Israel? And just for somebody who's never been here, but they need to come to Israel. There's so many. We could talk the next 3 hours on the beauty of Israel and connecting the Bible.
One of my favorite, also because of its nature, is in the Bible, I think it's called Caesarea Philippi, maybe, which is Banias. In the local, you correct me about the name after, but this is the place where actually Jesus gave Peter the what would you call it in English, his first disciple.
Yeah, Jesus asked Peter, who do you say that I am, or who do people say that I am? And so Peter answered him, and you mentioned, you know, where this location is, Caesarea Philippi, which is a beautiful area.
It's in the Golan Heights. It's one of the most amazing in nature, water, and you can see actually why people traveled there, because it was an old Roman, and before that Greek city, right, on that the most important in the area actually of the Golan Heights in the north. And this is why it makes sense that this story happened there. It's recognized happened there, and that the mountain of transformation, right, how it's called, where on the mountain, when Jesus goes on the mountain up, is actually also recognized in the same area. So you can see actually these places and imagine it and see it in your mind.
The mountain that you're talking about is Mount Hermon, which is a huge mountain in the land of Israel. And, you know, as you're listening here to the Middle East Report, we want to encourage you to come to Israel. But Mount Hermon that we're talking about in the northern part of Israel, it's not only a beautiful mountain, but in the winter, you can ski down the mountain because snow comes on the mountain there in Mount Hermon. So you have all these biblical places up in the Golan Heights. And it's not just Caesarea Philippi. You have Tell Dan.
Tell Dan, of course, one of my favorite. I love Tell Dan because in Tell Dan is have two things that are remarkable. First of all, it is they found remains of one of the altars from the time of the first temple when there was a disagreement between the two Jewish kingdoms. So they found as a proof of how they used to worship during that time, which is one thing very interesting. And then they found the name, the House of David, which is the most amazing evidence because there was a lot of discussion if David even existed among academics. I'm not talking faith in the past. And then they found a stone which said it's actually the enemy who said for Aramite, if I'm not mistaken,
right?
He said, I defeated the House of David. And then how can it be House of David if there is no David? So this is one of the biggest evidence. And this is the beauty. Like you see how things you read in the Bible actually have evidence and they exist.
You have taken people all over the country. You've taken people who love the land of Israel. What are some of your experiences about the people that you've encountered on the tours that you've been on, Christians and others, of course, when they come to the land of the Bible, Israel? What comes to your mind about some of the experiences that you've had in the past?
I think the most beautiful experience that I see in group of people come to Israel is their amazement in the transformative. It's not like a imaginary transformative experience. It's real because when you see them stand and sing or pray or cry when they see the Sea of Galilee and when imagine the stories of Jesus and Peter and walking through, and when they see them wish from their peace upon the world and blessing. Of course, you know what was said to Abraham about I bless those who bless you. So when they see the blessing and they wish the blessing upon the people of Israel and upon the world from that spot, you can see how to transform them to people who actually feel this peace around them.
The Mount of Beatitudes, you know, I think is what you're talking about there in the Sea of Galilee. And of course, Jesus mentioned that, the Beatitudes, but a lot of people don't know that that came from the Torah. That came from the Hebrew Bible, or what people would call the Old Testament. So it's very interesting. He was talking about that and just adding a lot of things to it as he was talking to those people there on the mountain there in the Sea of Galilee. So it's just absolutely incredible. Why should somebody travel to Israel?
This is a great question. And I think, like, you know, that my easiest answer that I said in the beginning is that if you want to have this experience of understanding what happened in the Bible, and when you said about the Hebrew, it's not only in the New Testament, in the Hebrew Bible, to see the landscape where things happen, where the war happens, where the kings came, where Elijah escaped and came to the Carmel Mountains, you will actually see the path that he could have taken to reach from Jezreel Valley, which is right under, to the Carmel Mountain. So it's excellent experience culturally for history people buffs, but for people with faith as well, because you can actually experience. I tell you, when you walk first time the streets of Israel and the places that you imagine so many prophets and Jesus and others walked, you will feel different. And I think this is something you can't find anywhere else. Like this feeling of I am actually living history and faith and connecting to it and experience it every step I take, I don't think you can find it anywhere else.
You know, I love that you mentioned the landscape of the Bible, because that's one of my favorite things to talk about. So you just brought it up, and then you brought up the prophet Elijah, who was on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal, and after he was all done taking care of them, the Bible records that he ran from there to Jezreel. That's a long ways. So that's probably, I'm going to say, 25 or 26 miles. So something like that. I don't know. I may be a little bit off on that, but he ran all the way from the mountain to Jezreel. And so you get all of this landscape and geography, and then the Bible comes together.
I can even tell you a secret. I went walking from Mount Carmel to Jezreel Valley many times because it's not that far away. This is what you find out you when you come and you walk it. Of course, you know, every person, not everyone can climb up a mountain or down a mountain. But when I do it, I can reach Jezreel Valley in about an hour. And then I can actually look up and see it. And I see how when you stand under the mountain, and you look up to where place recognized called Muhraka, where the test happens with the Baal prophets, you can see that people of Israel could have stood there and looked up and seen things happening, and Elijah could run down to them. So everything makes sense. Everything makes sense this way. And there's no way to, like, if I show you a picture, you won't be able to understand it. And I think this is the beauty, you know, like this is the simplest beauty. And we do many things to show people this beauty. Because like for now, we have a show we are making, the ministry, who the ministry producing actually, which called Land of the Bible, which we have already on our YouTube channel, which is called Visit Israel, official Israeli Ministry of Tourism channel. In the Land of the Bible, this is exactly the idea of this show, that you go every episode for 28 minutes, different site, different location, different landscape. You see all places in this landscape. You hear the biblical stories, you see the archaeological evidence, you hear the traditions, and then you feel like you're starting to travel Israel. I will tell you like a secret, it's not like traveling yourself. You know, traveling yourself, you'll actually experience it. You're going to actually love it and weep. Really weep in joy when you see the places, but at least you can get inspiration. At least you can see the places on video and you condition yourself, I want to go there. I want to see this, touch the same stone that probably King Solomon put or walked next to. And this, I think, is important.
So this is a series on the land of the Bible, and you've already produced several on your YouTube channel. So Visit Israel, they can Google that on YouTube, and then they can find the official website for the Ministry of Tourism. They're going to be taken to Israel. And that's beautiful, as you said, to actually see it, you know, on your computer or on your phone or whatever. But it's even more spectacular when you are here in the land of Israel. And I can just hear somebody saying right now to more, there's no way I can go to Israel. I don't even know where to begin. I don't know how to do this. So where does someone start if they want to come to Israel? Where do they begin?
Well, I will tell you two things. And every person researches and thinks about it differently. But first of all, I encourage them to watch the show, not only because we produced it, because this is their gate to see Israel and to start planning where to go in Israel and see what interests them. They don't have to follow itineraries of someone else. Once they see the show, they will say, okay, this place I connect to. This is beautiful. I want to go to. But of course, there are many, you know, we live in the day of the internet, so and AI and so many things, so people can get the information. Like you said, it's not like visiting here. But when you start planning, you book a time, you book a date, you book your flight, first of all. You agree how many days you come here, 10 days, 11 days, and then you start watching and seeing the places and asking. And of course, word of mouth, you know, like people, so many people who love Israel, who are people of faith, have came to Israel, their pastors have came to Israel, otherwise, and people will tell you, like their experience and how beautiful it is, and you can get inspiration. You know, what will happen when you get inspiration is you will be inspired and you will find the right places to go. At least that's what I believe.
And there are a lot of ways to plan that trip. I know the Israel Ministry of Tourism is not a tour company, so we want you to know that. But they do have a website. You can go to the website that we talked about on YouTube, and you can get connection to the official Visit Israel website. I recommend that you do that, and they can help guide you and lead you to some different tour options and that sort of thing. But again, they're not a tour company, the Ministry of Tourism, but they can certainly help you. You know, you can email them. And, you know, pastors in churches are doing this all the time. And, of course, here within the Ministry of American Family Radio, Tim Wildman and Allison, they bring tours to Israel every single year. And of course, everybody knows that Tim is the president of American Family Association. And several months ago, they brought 150 people to Israel. So they're always encouraging people to come to Israel. And you might want to just plan on going to Israel with Tim coming up here this spring. Come to Israel. It's a wonderful tour that Tim and Allison do, and it's just amazing.
And I totally agree. And like you said, the Ministry of Tourism is here to answer questions, to help. We have a Facebook, Instagram, the YouTube channel, usually under Visit Israel. You can find us, not as a tour company, like you said, but of course, Israel have so many great tour operators and DMCs, and are so rich with people who make trips to Israel from both here and people, like you said, pastors and others. And I'm sure the important thing that you come and find the right person that you want to come with. But I want to tell you one more thing that I think is very important. Coming to Israel, you actually see the truth of how Israel looks and what's going on in Israel and how it is. Because you have news and you have many things you hear, especially in this time period. But when you come to Israel, you see that anything you see in the news, it's not true. Israel is safe. People are outside. People, even though they've been through difficult times, the resilience of the people of Israel, the resilience and their faith, and their understanding that this is their land and the only place that they can live with in safely, makes them continue with their lives. They still they go out, they buy, they go to movies. You will hear, no, you will see, you will have to actually look with magnifying glass to find the places which you will see marks of war in, because Israel is open for business, Israel is safe, Israel government and all of its security bodies always have the priority of keeping everyone safe, tourists, Israelis, always ready. And I think actually coming in to Israel now has even more meaning, because it shows that you love Israel, but it also shows that you support the resilience of Israel. You want to see how Israel people actually overcome and keep growing and build up even when there is tests. You know, this is part of any person of faith can tell you. Life throws tests at you and things needs to be, sometimes they're difficult, but your resilience and actually supporting by coming and by helping the people, this is one of the most important things. This is why I always tell people, come because it's land of the Bible, come to experience the Bible, but also come now because Israel always loves and welcomes its friends, especially those who come to share and see how people live here.
You know, it's amazing, Timur, that as we were having dinner and as we were walking to our dinner, we saw beautiful Jewish families just enjoying the Mediterranean. They had smiles on their faces and they're resilient people. And so it's a beautiful thing to see, even in the midst of the difficult times, you know, that Israel has been through over the last couple of years. And of course, we always ask people to pray for, you know, Israel. But I want to ask you to do more than just pray. I want you to consider coming to the land of Israel. I want you to consider joining a tour. Maybe Tim Weilman with the American Family Association. Get on his tour. He's going to have one in the spring. You can be a part of coming to Israel. And as Timur said, it is safe. It's an opportunity for you to experience the Bible. Your life will never be the same when you come. You're not going to read the Bible the same way. I haven't. As I've been coming to Israel now for many years, I don't read the Bible the same way because of the geography and the landscape and then just interacting with the people. So we just want to encourage everybody to come to Israel, and we're going to wrap things up here because I know you have to be on your way, but somebody's thinking about going to Israel right now. One last word and encouraging that person to come to Israel.
Come for your once-in-a-lifetime experience. We are waiting for you. Israel is welcoming and open. We love everyone who comes here, and you will see the friendship and love of the Israeli people, first of all, and come for yourself to experience this beautiful, unique place through firsthand, witnessing yourself. Be a witness and witness how things are truly here.
Timur is with the Israel Ministry of Tourism, joining us here on the Middle East Report. And I just want to encourage you to check out their series on the land of the Bible. It's absolutely gorgeous what they have done, bringing you to these different sites in Israel. And it's available on YouTube. So just go to YouTube and it's Visit Israel, the official Ministry of Tourism website, Visit Israel. So just Google that on YouTube, and it's the series on the land of the Bible, and you're adding more and more as the days go ahead. So people can actually go there. But better than that, we've been encouraging you to actually get on an airplane, come to Israel, be a part of experiencing what it's like to be here in the land of the Bible and connecting everything to what you read. Timur, thank you for joining us for what you do at the Ministry of Tourism.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure, and I wait to see everyone here, hopefully soon.
As we wrap up this edition of the Middle East Report, I've invited AFA Vice President Walker Weilman to join us for a few minutes to talk about a very special tour to Israel that the Weilman family has been doing for many, many years. It's a tour to Israel that you and your family can be a part of. And I want to just encourage you to consider doing that. But Walker, tell us about this trip that you and the Wildman family have been doing for a long, long time.
Yeah, these tours started with my grandfather, Don Wildman, founder of the ministry here. He began leading tours to the Holy Land over 40 years ago. Some of these trips go back to even before AFA was founded. And these trips continue. Our current president, my dad, Tim Wildman, was handed these tours by my grandfather, Don, which is, of course, Tim's dad. And now my brother and I, Wesley, and I are now leading these tours with my parents. So it's an exciting legacy that we're continuing, and people's lives are impacted and changed by these trips to Israel.
You mentioned lives being transformed. Yeah. And that's what happens when you go to Israel. You see that all the time as you bring sometimes close to 150 people to the land of Israel.
That's right. What makes this so transformative is you're walking in the footsteps of not just Jesus, but people in Scripture. And this is the land of the Bible. So when you go to Israel, there are some sites where they say, well, it was in this area, right? Jesus fed the 5,000 in this vicinity. But there are many sites where we're actually walking on the same roads that Jesus walked on, and there's no historians that dispute, was it on this road or that road? And so that's what makes this trip unique, is that there are so many sites where we are literally standing where Jesus stood in Jerusalem and Israel and the surrounding regions. You know, some people ask the question, and I'll kind of answer these questions, these hypotheticals. Why would I go with you guys? Why wouldn't I just go on my own or go with somebody else? Well, you can. You're welcome to do whatever you want. But we've got extensive experience, and we've got Christian tour guides that have both Israeli and Arab background, so we're able to go into the West Bank and parts of the Palestinian-controlled regions with our tour guides, being able to speak multiple languages, and we take care of all the headache for you. You just show up every day, and we'll take you to all the sites, and we'll handle the logistics. And so having decades of experience is really what makes the tour so special and so enjoyable for a lot of people. My dad, Tim, and then my mom, Allison, and others, and if Wesley and I are there, we'll be there as well. But we're actually with you every day. From breakfast all the way to dinner, we're with the group. And so we're not passing you off to somebody you don't know. We're with you all through the steps of the process. And so that it's a very personalized tour experience, and it's a very, very big blessing to take people.
Please go to wildmangroup.com to get more information about this amazing trip to the Holy Land that's coming up in 2026. wildmangroup.com. Go to that website, get information. You have plenty of time to start planning for this trip that's coming up in 2026 during the springtime. All that information at wildmangroup.com. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Middle East Report. I want to encourage you to get a podcast to the show wherever you get your podcast. We're on all the major podcast platforms out there, Google, Spotify, and many, many more. Podbean, just search for the Middle East Report and you'll find it. And you can also go to afr.net. Thanks for listening. I'm John Riley.